Let's go to a familiar chapter in the Word of God, Psalm 100, please. Psalm 100, and I don't want to say I know some told me they'd text me right before service, and I left my phone at home or somewhere, so if I didn't return your text, I wasn't ignoring you. I just didn't have it, amen? And it's been kind of liberating without that thing tonight. not said I dread when you text me, but sometimes that thing can, he can run you ragged, amen? Psalm 100, and I used this chapter this morning at the nursing home, but then, of course, we just give some comments, but the Lord's give us a thought to begin here, and then we'll be using some other verses as we go through the points of the message. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Now, folks, there's some preaching in that chapter, and I don't have time, but there are some great, from verse 1 to verse 5, you can preach. And there's some great things in there that we can apply to our own Christian life, and we can apply to the church, even though I know this is Psalm of David. I know it's a different dispensation, but folks, all of God's Word may not be written to us, but it's all written for us. Paul said to use these accounts to admonish us to look and to learn from their positives, their negatives, and grow thereby. Again, I know Israel and I know the church are two different things, and we don't mix that. But yet, I don't discredit the Old Testament either. Amen. I thank God for the lessons in the Old Testament. I thank God for the examples we have of godliness, the examples we have of people that walk away from God and how God deals with them, and He's no respecter of persons. As a matter of fact, some of the things that God put to the Jews, He actually added to the church as well. "Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." God said that to Israel. Then He told Paul to say it to the church. Amen. There's a law that goes from lost man to saved man to any dispensation. That's the law of sowing and reaping. It don't have any boundaries to it. You reap that you sow. Amen. Folks, there's no such thing as karma. That's a wicked word, actually. That's an unbiblical. Karma's not a Bible word. Sowing and reaping is a Bible word. Oh, you do bad, karma gets you. No. Reaping will get you. I mean, you get it right with God, you're going to reap that. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So they, I mean, if you don't say karma, you help yourself, but it's not right to say it's not biblical. Right. You reap, hey, you sow, and then whatever you sow, that's what you reap. Right. I know the old saying, what goes around comes around. You reap that you sow. That's why the golden rule is so important. Whatever you would that men do to you, you do. Hey, you do also. Hey, how you want to get treated? That's how you treat people. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. And so, therefore, I think if we go by what God said, then we'll be all right. But anyway, I don't really know how I got off on that. But I want to notice, again, there's a lot of good preaching here. But anyway, I want to go down to verse 4, of course, and we're thinking about giving thanks. Why to give thanks. And I actually just went through some Psalms. And actually in verse 4, the word thankful, that's the first mention. The first time the word thankful is in the Bible is in verse number 4. Actually, the only time it's in the Old Testament, if I'm wrong, I apologize, is this verse right here, thankful. Now, thanksgiving goes way back to Leviticus. The laws of giving thanks or the offerings, the thanksgiving offering. But yet, the word thankful. Now, you say, preacher, you done some hard studying to get that. Yeah, that app on my phone. Got that King James Bible on it? Yeah. Folks, we make studying too hard sometimes. I punched in the word thankful, and it popped up the very first time right here. See, I didn't have to tell y'all that. I could have left y'all in amazement. You said you are a preacher, but it ain't a good one. But there's four things by introduction I want to share with you. It comes out of the book of Psalms. Now, I want you to notice there is a commandment of being thankful. In verse number 4, that is a commandment. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. See, that's not an option there. This is something David, through the divine inspiration of God, he's telling God's people, hey, you better be thankful. Right. Folks, I know God loves us unconditionally, but folks, he's a great father. And I believe it bothers him to be so good to his children. And supply our needs and above. Give us breath in our bodies and for us to not be thankful to him. As an earthly father, it blesses me with my children when I do something for them to say thank you. Now, when they don't, I still try to help them, but I do it that kind of way. Can I get a witness from any daddy in the building? Can I get a witness from any mama in the building? That's right. I know we're the but it's a commandment, and it really should have to be. But the Lord knows that we're but flesh, and if I don't command them to thank me, they won't thank me. So, folks, we have an obligation to give him thanks. In everything, give thanks. Hey, guess what? That's the will of God. The will of God for our lives is one thing, and that's to be thankful in everything. Again, maybe not for it all, but in it all, we are to give thanks. Amen. So, have you given thanks today? Have you been thankful today? If you hadn't, then you've disobeyed God. See, we look over those things. Well, I ain't drunk. I ain't drunk no beer today. I ain't cussed nobody today. Not outwardly, anyway. Oh, that's wonderful. So, that means I'm sinless. No. Did you thank God for giving you the strength and the grace not to drink beer today and cuss today? Amen. You're right. Right, oh, man, don't worry. I'm getting more convicted probably than you are right now. But it is a commandment. A commandment. He said in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So there is a commandment. But then I'm going to read a verse. If you'll turn, that's fine, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to read a verse in Psalm 35, verse 18. Not only is there a commandment of being thankful, but there's a commitment. There's a commitment of being thankful. Psalmist said this in Psalm 35, 18. I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. So here is a commitment. The psalmist said, I don't just have to be commanded. I'm committing my life to be thankful. He said, I will give thanks. He purposed that. Just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like they purposed they wouldn't defile themselves with the king's meat. I mean, this is what David's doing here. He said, I will. He's making a commitment. He's purposing. I'm going to make sure I am thankful. Folks, you know, it may be something we have to commit ourselves to. Lord, I don't want to forget today to be thankful. Lord, I don't want to miss a day of being thankful. Folks, even in this text, it talked about God's mercy. It talks about his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. And I mentioned this today. Man, that verse alone is enough to be committed to be thankful. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Preacher, what are you trying to say here? We know he's good, but get this, his mercy is everlasting. Folks, that's one thing that we will never run out of, and that's the mercy of God. He already said, I'm going to make it new every morning. Now, folks, sometimes he has to take a wayward child, and I'm talking about us that are saved, to his woodshed. But even through that, he shows us mercy. Amen. Well, hey, he's giving me a whipping. How's that mercy? It could kill you. He could end your life. We couldn't argue about it. We understand we deserve it. So even in our chastisement, he is showing us mercy. And then to think about this, with the wickedness of this world and the defilement of this world, he still made a statement, his truth endureth. That means it'll keep on, no matter what, to all generations. Amen. No man knows the day nor the hour that Christ come. I don't know, it could be another minute, it could be 100 years from now, I don't know. I don't think it'll be 100 years from now, but I'm just saying it could, we don't know. However, we do know that the world is going to wax worse. We do know that the wickedness of men, because of the satanic attack, we understand this world is not getting better. It's getting worse. Nothing in this life is getting better. This place is defiled by sin. Our bodies are defiled by sin. Adam done that. This earth is cursed because of sin. Our bodies are cursed because of sin. And then sin is running rampant. But God said here, but my truth, it's going to endure to every generation. Amen. My great grandfather, his last name was Holtzclaw. I can't remember his first name. And he was a Pentecostal circuit riding preacher. And he was a barber on the side. And he preached everywhere. And when he didn't have anywhere to preach, he cut hair. I got a picture of him cutting a man's hair. Somebody in the family down the line gave me a black and white picture of him standing there cutting hair. And he's buried in Belton, South Carolina. And I thought about how the things they endured then, but God's truth endured. And now we have, I guess I could say this, 2 or 3 more generations, and God, here I am. And the world's getting worse, but his truth's enduring. Amen. Taylor and these young preachers, they're coming up behind us. When they're 55 years old, I don't know how bad the world's going to be. But the Bible said his truth would endure forever. And all day, hey, my grandchildren grow up, and I say this, I can't stand the thoughts of the world they're going to grow up in. Right. However, his truth will endure to all generations. Amen. If that ain't enough to be thankful for, I don't know what is, to commit our lives to be thankful. Right. Now, I'm going to jump over to Psalm chapter 18, verse 49. I'm going to make a point here in just a minute. We saw the commandment of being thankful. We saw the commitment of being thankful. But now we're going to look at the community of being thankful. Psalm 18:49, the Bible says this, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, amongst the heathen, and sing his praises unto thy name. Here we go. In the commandment of being thankful, Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's public thankfulness. Amen. That's public. Yes, sir. That's right. The commitment of being thankful, I will give thanks in the great congregation. That's public. And in the community of being thankful, therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord among the heathen. That's public thanks. What's the point you're trying to make? Quit letting society see us down in the mouth, frowning, ill, bitter, full of hate and anger. Come on. We need to be publicly giving him thanks and praise amongst everybody, even the heathen. The only way the heathen, the unsaved, is going to want what we have if we have a spirit always of thankfulness. They've been out drinking and doping all weekend, and they come in whistling and smiling. We've been under the gospel all weekend. We come in mad as the devil. running down the pastor, running down the church members, running down everybody, mad because somebody blowed the horn at us, we just come in with this ungodliness. But the Bible said, I want you to be publicly thankful. All three of those places, the Spirit of God showed me, y'all know you've done sin, y'all smarter, but yet thanksgiving and praise is to be done publicly too. Actually, there's more references to doing it in public than in private. Now, we need to be thankful in our prayer life, and I'm glad, praise God, we can get down in the woods and have a time. We can get by ourselves in the back room, we can have a time. But the Lord's interested in us showing people. Hey, the world's going to pot, but praise God, He's still supplying my needs. Amen. I'm thankful He got me up this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Amen. Yeah. Thank God. Blessed and highly favored. Yes. Public. But I want you to notice this. From the commandment, the commitment, the community, I want you to notice this, the context of being thankful. Now, folks, we all know that if the Lord puts something in the Word of God one time, we gotta take note of it. But in this, the Lord put it in His Word 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, I could have missed some. 7. And the verse goes like this in Psalm 107:1, 106:1, 136:1, 2, and 3, and 26, Psalm 118:29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. What's the context of being thankful? We go back to what? His mercy. Amen. Endureth forever. Amen. We go right back to that. See, we think too. Hey, the Bible said not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But that's what we're doing. Me, you, we all have a spell with that. Oh, not me, preacher. Yeah, but by you refuting it, says you think more of yourself than you ought to say. If that statement I just made upsets you in spirit, that shows me you're thinking about yourself. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So therefore, We don't even think or consider God's mercy in our lives. Folks, let me tell you something. It wasn't an accident that you left your house, got in your automobile, and headed up the road and got here safe. That's not an accident. You ain't that good a driver. That's the mercy of God. You worked all day long handling instruments and tools and been around dangerous places. That's not your skill that got you back home safe. That's God's mercy. Amen. That's good, Pastor. We walk into two nursing homes today and people there. So, I don't know if you listened to the lady singing, Miss Barbara. She can't see, can barely walk. And she rejoices more than we do. And we walk in those places and people are in pitiful shape. I don't walk in there like, man, I must be smarter than these people. I must be. No, it's only by the mercy of God. I'm not sitting in a wheelchair and can't see, can't walk beside them. Yes, sir. And one day it could be me.
That's right.
I hope if one day it is me, that some gospel preacher will come and preach to me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And preach to me.
Amen.
The context of being thankful is we give thanks when we consider how much mercy the Lord has placed in our lives. Hey, you didn't just outsmart the devil and outsmart God's wrath and, oh, I missed hell, got saved because I done all the right. No, it was God's mercy you're not in hell. Hey, if somebody is living in a way, I remember Brother Randy Bain made a statement years ago That was the year that they set the tent up over, well, Brother Robbie Dodd, pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, they set that tent up over there in the yard. And they just put in the Sphinx. And the night before, Brother Randy went home and he stopped there. And he made this statement. It embarrassed me, but it was good. It was. He said, I seen a man, and he talked about drunk, just wicked, coming in and out of the store, and he looked just like me in the face. And he said, but for the grace of God, there's Tommy Turner. But for God's mercy, there's Tommy Turner. When I got through my face burning because I was embarrassed, he's right. Only because of the mercy of God, that wasn't me. There's men, a few men, a couple of men that I went to school with, either at Camp Bella Grambling or Landrum, going through school, that are building life sentences in prison for murder. That's right, for murder. Folks, there's a man that I'm dear friends with, and he calls me from prison, that came here regularly. And he lost his job. If I called his name, 50% would know him. And he kept a key to the business, and he got wasted. And when he went in there sometime during the night, early morning, with an AK-47. And when they walked in, there he was. He didn't shoot him, but he shot the floor. Are you still with me? Honey, how many years did he get? 25 years? 25 years. 25 years. He calls me every other week or so. Oh yeah, he's got his heart right, and man, he regrets. Hey, mostly don't remember it all. What is the difference between me and him? Mercy. It's mercy. Because folks, there have been days in my life I fought temper. Bad. I mean, it's a curse in my family. These little things, man, we fly off the handle. And why hadn't I messed up to that point? Yes, sir. Mercy and grace. Amen. And you talk about what's the basis of the context of our thanksgiving? It's mercy. It goes back to mercy. It goes back to the mercy of God. Man, I should be in hell when my back broke. But God, who was rich in what? Mercy. Amen. But God, who was rich in, I'm glad he's rich in it. He don't give out rations for mercy. He got plenty. And somehow or another it reproduces overnight. And he's new every morning. He's mercy. Some of the crazy things we used to do as teenagers, running the streets and doing crazy things in the middle of the night. And hey, folks, let me tell you something. We was so crazy, we'd get in the middle of cornfields and have bottle rocket fights. And aim them right at somebody's eye 2 foot from them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't. Wonder if we ain't put each other eyes out. You got stories. But here you sit right now. Saved. Saved. It's not your skill, not your will. It was the mercy of God. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Let's all stand. I have a whole message here, but I'm so